And the first item I have is a report and possible discussion on the second quarter budget by John Hall, Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning. This is each quarter. This will be our second quarter of the year, and this is our budget summary. You received in your book a fairly detailed list of reports, and as usual, I'll put just some summary information up here in the next slide and discuss it for just a second. And I'll be happy, of course, to answer any questions about any more detailed results that were included in the other reports. Overall, what my focus at on this slide is really in the year-to-date column. The three columns here sort of on the right side of the slide. And you can really see that overall revenues were about a little more than $200,000 higher in the first half of the year than we projected. That's primarily attributed to a couple of items. Our interest income that we budget for, we were pretty conservative in the way we budgeted for interest income. I think the interest rate that we used, the assumptions were a little bit lower than interest rates that moved up a little quicker than we had anticipated when we did the budget. So we actually end up with more interest income than we budgeted, which is a good thing for us. And another item in miscellaneous revenues, we don't really budget for miscellaneous revenues because we don't really anticipate or know exactly what's going to happen there. So we really have no budget. We had $150,000 or so in various miscellaneous revenues for this particular quarter. Some rebates, some insurance rebates we got back. We have some technical assistance we provided to some local municipalities in the area that we had that was a little greater than we anticipated. And we have finance charges that we collect from some of our customers that we bill that don't pay on time, and so we collect some finance charges and things like that. So those were a little bit higher. So that's why our revenue is a little bit higher. On the expense side, we're under expenses by nearly $1 million year to date. And some of that I know is attributed to timing, just the timing of expenses. When we put the budget together, we then, of course, break it into months and quarters. And we do that. We try to anticipate the timing, but we're always a little bit off. But some of that's timing, but some of it's going to be expense savings. We're going to end up underspending. And I think in the third quarter, we'll have a little better handle on where we'll come in, obviously, as we get a little more toward the end of the year. But we're about $1 million under our spending in that area. And in capital outlay, we're a little bit under. That's where we buy and replace vehicles and other types of equipment that are capitalized, so we're a little bit, I think most of that's timing. We'll probably spend most of that money as we anticipated. So overall, the surplus and deficit is an item we had planned at this point. We got $5,700,000. In surplus, we're about almost $7 million, short, a little, as you can see, as a result of the revenues and expenses. And then the bond proceeds reimbursement, when we put together, as you all remember, we sold two bond issuances this last fall, one to fund projects at Possum Kingdom, the rehab of the gates at the dam, and also a number of other projects, elevator stairs, penstocks, projects. And then the other part of the other bond issuance was the expansion of the Taylor water plant. When we did that, part of the proceeds, it was about $23 million in total proceeds that we got from those two bond issuances, and part of that was anticipated to reimburse ourselves for costs that we had already incurred in prior years. At the time, we anticipated that to be about $9.8 million. When we finished the bond issuances and did the actual calculation, it turned out that we were only eligible to reimburse ourselves about $8.2 million. Some of that was because some of the expenditures in PK and the Taylor plant, which we thought were already going to expend that money and reimburse ourselves, had not occurred yet. So it really is not a problem or any issue. We'll just pay for that sort of shifts rather than reimbursing ourselves. They'll just be paid out of future project costs. So it's really not a problem. But I wanted to highlight that and indicate we'll be using all those funds for those projects. Capital projects were a little bit under pace. Most of that's timing. There will be, at the end of the year, we know that there's always some projects that we won't spend quite as much as we anticipate. But we're a little bit slower than that pace at this point. And you can see pretty much that the ending reserve balance that we had down there is pretty much the same. And, of course, that's really the result of the offsetting bond proceeds reimbursement versus the surplus and deficit. So that's just a summary of what's happening. This is really the water supply system we're talking about. We also have an item on cost reimbursable paid, which, again, are a piece of our business that our contracts that we are cost reimbursable. I don't spend a whole lot of time, but I'd be happy to answer any questions about those also, just because whatever the revenues and expenses that we have end up matching each other over time. Yes.
Going back to those bond reimbursements, let me make sure that I understand this.
Okay.
We spent $1.5 million out of our general fund for which we will not get reimbursed.
No, sir. We didn't ever. Well, we spent some of that money when we anticipated the when we before we sold the bonds. When it was actually when we put the budget together back in the summer, almost a year ago, we calculated how much of the bond proceeds we thought we'd be able to reimburse ourselves. Well, part of that was expenses that had already incurred at that point, but the majority of them were expenses that we had not incurred yet, but we thought we were going to incur for this next year, and we just simply didn't spend that money on those projects as quickly as we thought we were. So instead of them being in the pot that we were going to reimburse ourselves for, that we if we had spent them, they're actually we're just going to come out of the they're just going to come out of the proceeds as we expend the project. As the project goes along. So it's going to be paid for the project either way. It's just whether you put it over here in your left pocket. If your left pocket's what you've already done that you reimburse yourself, or your right pocket's how much you're going to pay for in the future. So it just shifted the use of them. So it really will still end up in the same place as opposed to
at the end of both projects.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir.
So that was it. Any other questions? Yes.
On the capital projects, we don't usually have a chart, you know, like over here on page 6, we have an inception to date.
Yes.
I guess y'all keep a chart timeline on the estimated completion of certain phases of each project.
We do, yes. Certainly the larger projects we do, some of them are smaller, but absolutely there's a project manager and person that is following, you know, and controlling that project.
So are we pretty well current with all our projections?
Yes. We're under the, you can see we're under our spending pattern on all the projects. There's a couple of them that we're getting up close to that we're gonna have to look at and see what's going on there. We'll have a little more detail on that in the next quarter as we see, but at this particular point, we're comfortable with all the progress on all the projects and where we stand on them.
Okay, sometime it might be interesting for us to see that.
Okay, if there's, we'd be happy to do that, talk about them in detail maybe next quarter or so if we want to show you, especially the major ones, especially some of the larger ones, of where that stands and maybe some sort of timeline that shows you where those are, where the status is and how quickly we're spending funds against that and where we plan to finish up.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Let me make one other comment. There was actually a new report that was added. You may have noticed to this that we had not put in previous quarters. And it was the very last report. It's on page 11 in your book. Is an accounts receivable aging report. And this is really a request of one of our board members. I think it was a very good idea to put this in. I don't have a slide on it, but if you look at page 11, I just want to make a couple of comments about it. The purpose of it was just to provide you all some information about how our collections are. If you look in the far right here, if you look in the far right column of the top half of the page on the aging report, you can see that, and this is run at a particular day. This was, as you can see, as of March 29th. We actually created as of, and that was the last day I could run it before I had to print the pages to put in the book. We had $2.6 million in outstanding receivables at that, as of that particular day. And of course, what's really important to look at is really from the white columns moving back to the left is the older things, especially the ones over 120 days, of where there was about $400,000 of that that was over 120 days. One of the points I'll make is if you look up, you can see that, that $350,000 or that $400,000, and this is where if you look down below that just a little bit in the category, you can probably see the number under long-term system contracts is attributable to Texas A&M University. And we have a long-term water contract with them that we are working with them to probably transfer that contract to another. They want out of that particular contract, and they had not paid us this particular year, and we've been in ongoing discussions and negotiations with them to actually transfer that contract to another customer. And so that's why that showing is outstanding. We anticipate getting all that money collected either from Texas A&M or from some other entity when that's completed. But that represents the largest part of the, as you can see, of the oldest. And then there's some other items there that we continue to work on to collect. And I'll be happy to discuss any of those if you want. And then as you can see, as you move from right to left, you can see some of the other.
John, why would we have residential and commercial leases 60 to 90 days in arrears on PK?
We bill those. We bill those customers at the beginning of the or right at the end of last year, and so these are simply the ones that are we're just still trying to collect. To be honest with you, and we anticipate you can see that we don't have any older. You know, in the 90 to 120 days, that would have been the last year's. So we end up collecting all of these. I was talking about having the same discussions with some of the other folks in the finance, with Cheryl Holscher, who is our main account receivable person. And they all get collected, but we do have some slow pays in there. And and that's what that represents is some of the slow pays. Now, most of those are the commercial. Or the commercial customers. And in fact, I might point out that as you look on that, since May, March the 29th, the City Point Northview and Hill Country Harbor, which the first one was 17,000, the other was 27,000, have actually paid since then. So they've actually paid. They just as of the 29th were outstanding. And then some of the other ones, those are the two big chunks. You can see that represents almost $50,000 of the 60 have paid. So we have a few others that are straggling in that we continue. And some of them are waiting on new contracts. As an example, Fossum Ford and Fossum and Jackie Long we're working with new contracts with them. So that's why those are delayed, and we anticipate getting those. And then we just have a few down at the bottom. You see we have six of them that are still out there for a total of $5,700 that we're working through. We anticipate getting all that collected and worked out.
6 months ago, we probably had twice as much as we have now. We had people who made it a routine practice to be in arrears for over a year, use our money for over a year. When it was brought to attention, and we were asked to start making this chart, that's improved our collection tremendously.
And what's the problem with it?
The city of Bartlett, if y'all read it, had some problems. I don't know if you're familiar with the problems that the mayor had, and there was some.
Was the mayor's money?
No, it wasn't, but the city has gotten into some significant financial problems. They've gotten behind not only on the bills to us. We provide technical assistance to the city of Bartlett for some of their water operations just on a per hour basis, and they had just gotten behind on paying us due to their financial problems. But we're working out, we feel confident we'll ultimately collect all that, and we sort of have put them on working with them on a payment program to get them caught up. So they've also recently hired a person permanently to do what we were helping to provide, so that really we're not providing but a very minimal amount of service to them now and going forward in the future. So, but we anticipate getting that all collected. And they've been very upfront in working with us. They just needed more time to help pay us for some of the services.
Translation, they had to wait till the trial, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And there's a Friday
Mr. Egert had disposed of his lawyer. We have been pushing forward to try to get this thing set up, and we've had two coherent, nice emails from him. In the, so we have now have a trend, and we looks like was it the 24th or the 18th? We're pushing for closure by the 24th, and as of Friday, that looked to be on course and on glide path. However, we'll see. Sure.
When people are in arrears, do we have a penalty policy like the tax folks?
Yes, we charge finance charges where that's allowable in their contracts. There's some contracts, again, we have some old contracts that may not be allowable, which we can't, but on the ones that we do, we charge finance charges. And that was one of the reasons we have higher revenues. Mm-hmm. I mean, that amount, a whole lot of money, as an example, is in a particular quarter, we might collect $10,000 in finance charges, though.
But it's
absolutely. You need to have that, because otherwise, there's an incentive for anybody to pay timely if there's no penalty. So,
exactly.
Yes, ma'am. Any other questions on that or any of the other statements? I'll be happy to answer.
Hey, thank you, John.
Let me make one last observation. There also is included in your book, I think on pages 13, 14, two pages, a summary of some financial numbers and information about Possum Kingdom specifically. This really is the same information that was presented at the town hall, last town hall meeting we had up at PK, which I believe was back in the fall, if I'm not mistaken, or late summer. And what I did here was just to add another column. I added the 6 months ending for the first half of this fiscal year, just to bring you up to date on sort of that information, because I know from time to time that that's things that are of interest to you all, and you may get some questions about. I would caution you, you'll notice the last slide, which is a footnote, label of footnote, explains that the first 6 months of the year, the results as far as the surplus or deficit in the first 6 months are a little bit misleading. It shows that we actually are running like $1 million surplus in sort of the PK area, and that's true for the first 6 months, but I might say that the revenues, we collect most of the revenues in the first half of the year. The majority are collected. The expenses are obviously paid on more of a pro rata basis throughout the year, so it sort of distorts the surplus that we have for the first half, and that will correct itself, obviously, as we tend to move toward the balance of the year. You can see that the budget that we budgeted out there was a deficit of about $650,000. The reason majority of that was because we had new debt service that we put out this year. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And
just a quick question, and I don't know if that may be for Mike or you, but the status of employee housing up there at PK, I just noticed we still got a fair amount of expense. Is that issue been resolved about getting rid of all the old houses and moving everybody out?
The last of the old houses moved out 2 weeks ago. We still have four garages that are going to move out in the next 30 days. So we are at the level that y'all authorized, and that's basically two ranger's houses, patrol house, and my house. So that's where we are physically.
It should be diminishing over time. It's certainly gone down because of your properties, but there is still some housing costs that we'll continue to have.
And we have not paid to have any of those houses removed on a good pro-quo basis. So we offered the house up, and they took it. And in some instances, they actually paid us some money for the property.
Thank you, John.
Sure.